Emerson. He's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
It can never be the correct temperature in here. It's always got to be too cold or it's got to be too hot. Nothing can ever be just right.
I think it feels good.
Well, that's because you guys got on a different heating system than we are. You guys aren't on the same thermostat.
No, I think it's warmer in here than usual, though, and it feels nice because I'm always cold.
No, because the way this building is lined, if you guys have ever been in here, if you've ever seen the studios, the way the building is laid out, there's a long hallway with, let's see, 7 rooms in one long strip. It's like a radio strip mall in here. There's 7 studios all in a row down this one hallway. And there's, I don't know, like 3 different thermostats that control these seven rooms. But like, there isn't one, like, the adjacent rooms don't have the same thermostat. So, like, there's studios 1 through 7, but studios 1 and 2 don't have the same thermostat. And studios 3 and 4 don't have the same thermostat. So, it's like studios 1 and 5 share a thermostat. Studios, like, 2 and 7 and, like, 4 and 6. It's just incredibly confusing trying to keep it the same temperature in these rooms here. And I realize I'm starting a show on a complaining tip today. But I'm just saying, I feel like I got a note. There's something all kablooey about the climate control in here.
Yeah. Welcome to the Ice House.
All right. It's 3 minutes, 54 seconds after the hour 12, and this is the month of December in the year of our Lord, 2002. Thank you for coming along, and welcome to day 12. It is the Rick Emerson Show, live in the studios of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon, along with Christina Carlson, Matt Peterson, Tim Riley, and myself. We have just all kinds of stuff today. We have Battle Watch coming up, a special Britney Watch, a Britney-oriented top 5 today. Later on, news at Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis. We have news on the Rick Emerson Christmas song. The Tim Riley Factor Christmas CD takes another giant step towards completion.
How so?
It's, we'll get to it later. I've got all this crap to get to, all this stuff to get to without troubling you with. I don't want to trouble you with anything else anyway. You don't even have a car.
Yeah, just one of those things. Merry Christmas to me.
Here's my impression of Tim Riley's car this weekend. Right into the side of, what was it, a Buick?
Yeah. A little scratch on the Buick.
What are you doing there?
Just playing the explosion sound effect.
All right. Anyway, so what was it like? Just a huge, just some gigantic tank of a car that you crashed into?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, when I was waiting for the tow truck last night, I went back to the scene because my car was on the side street. And one of the neighbors came up and said, yeah, I heard that crash yesterday. And I lived 2 blocks away.
And so this was your fault or his fault?
Mine.
Now, are you given...
Allegedly.
Well, not even allegedly. Like, you're just admitting it now. You're not normally given to hitting cars. You're typically pretty resistant. Is this the first time you've been in an accident?
First time I have been in an accident like this.
And your car is just demolished.
The front of my car looks like an accordion.
and people come up to you
and
make comments. Some guy walks up and says, you know, my wife got in an accident last week, but not as bad as this one.
Yeah, I don't mean to, I'm just trying to laugh. It's just that I've totally been there. And it's like, and especially when your car gets destroyed, or you lock your keys in your car, or your battery gets stolen, or your battery's dead. When you're used to having a car and then it's not there, it's just the most helpless feeling in the entire world. There is no feeling more helpless than being without a car, than not having access to a car when you're used to having it. That is just the worst feeling in the entire history of the world.
But, you know, it's happened to me before. You know, I lived in L.A. many, many years without a car. Well, it's just my turn to be mugged and robbed. That's all there is to it.
I'll see, now you get to take that $450,000 bus. So, all right.
I found one that nobody rides on today.
All right, so all of that is coming up, as well as your phone calls. 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. You can also email. It's rick@rickemerson.com. This is Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Yes, it is true. Hog Whitman really does have a new CD. Get your copy at all Music Millennium stores.
When is it? Are we back to this again?
Yeah. Or online at hogwhitman.com.
But is nobody buying that thing?
Somebody better start buying it.
Jesus Christ. Buy Hog CD. I'm tired of hearing about this.
I would have bought it on Saturday, but
the day before, I cracked up my car. I lost my MasterCard. Now, the day that I cracked up my car, I went back to the store where I thought I left my MasterCard. It was closed, and in frustration, got in an accident. You know, and what led up to the MasterCard thing was... Yes, it is cold in here.
Yeah, Mike, the engineer, is asking about the... It is cold. Christina, would you admit that it's cold in this room, colder than normal? All right. I don't know what that's all about. Now we've gotten completely off track. So you lost your MasterCard, couldn't get it back, and that's what caused the frustration where you racked your car around something.
Right. So which led up to that. Saturday night, I went out to Cinema 21 to see that Henry Kissinger movie with some friends, and afterwards, I decided to treat them to coffee people and dessert. And since I'm not going to see you before Christmas, help yourself to whatever you want.
I'm not going to be needing a new car anytime soon. Let me pay for dinner.
Right. So everybody... Should we order dessert? Yes, please. Order dessert. Order
multiples of everything.
Yeah, and the biggest sizes, please. After all, I want you to remember this is my gift to you. So they ring up the total, and I reach for my MasterCard. It's gone.
Well, you know, Tim, if you're short on cash, but you need a new car, you should go down to Gage Auto Sales.
Shut up. You shouldn't do that. You should contact Continental Loan, or perhaps America One.
Get a hold of Continental Loan, get a loan, and then go to Gage Auto Sales and spend the money and buy your new car at Gage.
And then drive to Everybody's Garden Center.
Better yet, get a new truck from Gage Auto, then go to Everybody's Garden Center,
fill up
on garden supplies, and get ready for the upcoming gardening season.
Yeah, get some shovels and bury the old car in the backyard.
And then go buy Hog Whitman CD.
So back to the point.
Oh,
so,
I have Hog Whitman CD. I forgot you gave me one. Complimentary.
Well, you're the only one, apparently. No one's buying it.
Can I see the copy points for the Hog Whitman CD?
Sure, here they are.
Jesus Christ. First of all, they had the wrong website. It said hotwhitman.com. Somebody corrected it.
Hot Whitman.
Perhaps the ladies.
That's for my third grade math teacher, Spread Eagle on a bed. Let's see. Yes,
it's
true.
Was her name Mrs. Whitman or something?
Yes, it's true. Hog Whitman really does have a new CD. Get your copy at All Music Millennium, also misspelled, stores. Or who writes this? Or online at Hot. Okay, it does say Hot. It's really not Hot.
No.
Who writes this
copy?
See
what Tim and I have to deal with?
Who writes this copy?
I don't know.
Who gets on the keyboard and types this out?
I think it's Bill, the salesman.
Is it Bill?
No, I don't think that Bill actually types it. I think it might be either Tammy or Tandra.
No, because Tammy's all about quality.
Yeah, Tammy is all about quality.
Tammy does no wrong, ever.
No, Tammy is job one, is quality with her. Or online at hogwhitman.com. Okay, so here, it's a personal plea from me to you. Go buy the freaking CD. I feel so bad. Apparently no one's buying it.
Because you never know when you're not going to have any money anymore and you wanted to buy it.
because somebody types your MasterCard and then your car is gone. You're not going to be able to buy it then. Then you'll have to download it illegally off the net. You'll feel bad for taking money out of Hog's mouth. So Christmas is coming up.
The gifts are getting fast.
Yeah, Mom, you don't know what to get Mom for Christmas. You know, you don't know what Grandma wants.
This.
You can get her the She Put the Sea Back in Country song.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't like that? My Cispro's dead. Who is this?
That's actually Hog Whitman. Called in, yeah.
Okay, my call screening software is dead. What is everything in this building going wrong today? Hog, what's up with you?
I just wanted to thank you for that heartfelt plug there.
Well, Jesus, man, I just feel so bad. And they can't even spell the website correctly on here, hotwhitman.com. Nobody go there because it's going to be a million pop-up windows. It's going to crash your computer. I'll get blamed.
I should have got that domain, too, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know what you should... You know, the big money is in getting misspellings, like yahoo.com, and so, you know, with like two A's or like one O or something. That's where all the big dollars are. It's in misspelled URLs, my friend.
Yeah. No, actually, the CD is selling. I'm just trying to, you know, pump up the holiday sales. And so far, my brother's bought one. My mom ordered two. She hasn't paid me yet. Music Millennium is doing an excellent job. I'm a little put out by internet sales and stuff like that, but, you know, who knows, but that's just something to try.
This newfangled.
You know, you got to reach what they call critical mass, you know, because I'm getting reorders and stuff like that and multiple orders. And
all right, so it is hogwhitman.com or cdbaby.com, right?
Yeah, but go to hogwhitman.com. That way, I think I make a little bit more money.
Excellent. There you go. And then they won't have to air these hideous pleas for people to buy the CD anymore. Hog Whitman, ladies and gentlemen, world famous. Have we actually played the news center? All right.
I don't think we started the news.
Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
Boom.
No, we've already played that, because then you did the Hog Whitman intro.
Yeah, we've really already played that.
Okay, so let me start reading. Only in Oregon.
A six-seat airplane hit an elk while taking off from Astoria Regional Airport early this morning and burst into a fireball. Four people on board, but nobody was injured. All walked away, fortunately. And the pilot put safety procedures right when he hit the elk. He pulled the switch and saved everybody.
Well, they pulled both throttles back, shut the fuel flow off to the engine, fired both the fire extinguisher bottles, and were able to put the immediate fire out. And what was left then when they got down to the end of the runway was just a slow-burning kerosene fire like you'd see in a kerosene lamp.
So this is Elk 1, Plane 0.
Right, the elk met its maker immediately.
Yeah, but I mean, it took some things with it, though. It took the plane with it.
Oh, yeah.
The elk wasn't going down alone.
No, this plane burned to a crisp.
Yeah, the fire kept burning as the aircraft sat there. It took a few minutes for the crash truck to get down there. And in that time, with the full fuel that the aircraft had on board, it did consume the aircraft. I was down there much earlier, or just after it happened, and did not see the full effects of the fire. At that time, it was just a small flames around the aircraft. The grass was a little bit on fire, and
so that's what happened. Anyway, this airplane was being rented by the Canadian military because they have no air force of their own. This rural airport had planned to put up an elk-resistant fence by next summer. We've had an elk problem here for years, say the people at the airport.
An elk problem.
Yeah.
So the problem, an elk problem, kind of like we had an Indian problem when we moved here. We have an elk problem. All right.
So that's what happened.
It's not at all because the elk were there first. Or anything.
No.
That's not at all. You know, the thing is, you don't want to screw with those quadrupeds, man. You hit, like, you ever seen anybody hit a deer with their car? Man, you don't ever want to hit a deer with you. You think your car was, you think hitting a Buick was bad for your car. Have you ever seen anybody that's hit, like, a deer going down the road, like, 60 miles an hour? You don't ever want to see damage like that. Because, first thing, everybody in the front seat of the car is hosed because the deer comes through the windshield after hitting your grill.
So that's like three Buicks.
It's seriously, it's like hitting a Buick made of meat. I mean, it's like...
Has anyone hit an elk?
A Buick made of meat.
Well, there's no other way to describe it. It's like hitting a Packard made out of jerky. I mean, it's just a bad scene. Well, let's not talk about it anymore.
Well, alleged multiple murderer Christian Longo is complaining that he and his family led a humiliating transient lifestyle eating ramen numerals, not to be confused with Roman numerals, in hotel rooms. He told this with an interview with detectives.
I don't even know where to begin. Let's just pretend we didn't hear it.
Is that really ramen noodles?
No, that's correct.
It's like the Easter Island statues. We can't understand them, so we're going to ignore them.
Just going to let them go.
Yeah. Right. So that's what happened.
Well, thanks for clearing that up.
Things just got worse.
Yeah. That's the story of my life. That's the story of December 3rd. And then things inexplicably just got worse.
And there's really nothing bad about eating those noodles. They're like 10 for a buck.
Especially if you don't have a car or a credit card.
Yeah, they're easy to lug miles on a bus.
Jesus Christ.
Every meal for years.
I didn't eat ramen noodles when I was poor. I ate, I did. I would occasionally buy ramen noodles and then I would just jury rig food out of them. Like I would get like cheap sauce and make like cheap spaghetti or cheap macaroni or something. Or the deal is that you could, if you had a little bit of money, you wouldn't have to buy ramen noodles. You would buy the Maruchan instant lunch in the styrofoam cup, which I was more a fan of. So, the ramen noodles I don't really get with. I'm more with the Nissin instant lunch thing.
Well, apparently they're the breakfast of murderers now.
That's exactly the... I'm sure that we'll be hearing from them later on. We understand that you refer to our product as, quote, the breakfast of murderers.
Anyway, let's talk about entertainment, shall we? We might as well. Somebody highlighted this in purple, which makes it harder to read. Patrick Stewart battles a young clone of himself who is out to destroy the world in Star Trek Nemesis. The film is rumored to be the last of the next generation. Oh, promises, promises. Patrick Stewart talks about the possible end of the next generation and the birth of feature films.
The end of Next Generation has been hovering in the air since halfway through the first season.
I love Patrick Stewart.
There were three points in that first season when they could have dumped the series. So we lived through each one of them. And because no one ever expected that it would go beyond the first season anyway. And I do recall sitting around on the set and discussing with the other actors, what do you think, a season and a half, two seasons, maybe. Nobody ever went beyond three. And so we have lived, in a sense, day to day, always with this series. And there was no certainty that there would ever be a feature film. That only came on late in the last year.
Oh, yeah. No one could have. Yeah, it was completely a surprise to us that they hoard the gravy train of this. We didn't see that we would continue to milk the Star Trek fans to soak them for every dollar they've got. No one ever saw that coming. And I don't think Patrick Stewart discusses a damn thing. Because discussion implies. I think he just sits around and goes, I was in I, Claudius. That's all he says. Like everybody else is just, you know, like a Tasha Yar chick. She was like in Playboy or Penthouse. I, Claudius. That's like the end of every discussion with Patrick Stewart when he just brings that out. Let's ask him another question.
Because the answers are like Donald Rumsfeld.
Tell us about writer John Logan and director Stuart Baird's contribution to the franchise, Patrick.
The presence of two outsiders, enthusiastic in their different ways, has been very, very significant. And I think it has created in all of us
sounds too damn cool when he
about
speaks.
The possible future for the series. But as you can see from your brochure, the studio are teasing the world with the thought that this might, in fact, be the end. But a studio executive said to me last week,
"You were at I, Claudius."
Emphasis has to be put on the last word of that sentence.
All right, and he's sort of the Pierce Brosnan of the Star Trek world. In that, I know that everybody considers Shatner to be the premier Starfleet commander, you know, or whatever, the captain, but. You know, there's moments where Patrick Stewart really comes out and is better than Kirk. And Kirk cheated on his final exam at the Academy anyway, so. Time for the Battle Watch. Here's the Rick Emerson Battle Watch for Tuesday.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
Well, there's nothing that's funner than a Donald Rumsfeld press conference. Today, he was asked if he's seen CIA documents showing Saddam and Al-Qaeda working together, and if so, can he please get them to the working media?
And I really had a minimum of high regard for the way the whole thing was handled. So I've decided that I'm not going to go asking for an unclassified piece of paper. I don't need it. You need it. So what I do is I read the classified, I know what's going on, and I'm perfectly happy, and I don't need to go through that again.
Damn. You know, no one tells the press to go F themselves more eloquently than Donald Rumsfeld.
And he does it again because somebody asked him the same question to try to get a different answer.
Well, did the CIA present nearly 100 examples of contact between Iraq and Al-Qaeda?
You didn't hear me. I'm not going to get into it.
Okay.
And Aaron Sorkin ought to be paying attention to that because Rumsfeld, and he doesn't do it in the same weaselly, smarmy, grease-slathered way that Ari Fleischer does. He's just, Rumsfeld's got style. It's impossible to really dislike him because he's just such a pro.
Yeah. And then they're talking about vaccinating the troops who are going into Iraq for smallpox, and he was asked to comment on that.
Be inoculated as an example to the troops.
I'm so old, I already had a vaccination.
So you note the abject lack of an answer there. But then
And that's basically the way the whole thing went. Ask a question and get no answers. Pat Buchanan's opinion of today's press conference.
And the main thing I got out of it is that they will not say what the United States exactly will do if at the end of this week Saddam Hussein comes in and says, as we told you, we've got no weapons of mass destruction. Now, the president said the cooperation is not encouraging, whereas Kofi Annan says it is good. Mr. Rumsfeld did not want to clarify it. He did not indicate what the United States would do if, as I say, Saddam Hussein, as he probably is, going to come in and say, we've got no weapons of mass destruction. He did say everybody goes to the Security Council and we ask the Security Council nation. He seems to be walking back from what looked like a war threat yesterday by the president.
Well, see, and that's exactly the thing we're going to ask Gary Baumgarten later from CNN, because Bush says that it's not going well,
right.
But the U.N. inspectors, like the U.N. themselves, say that it's going swimmingly. So this is just more evidence for the fact that Bush is looking to bomb somebody.
So meanwhile, the Saudis are fighting back. Their foreign policy advisor, Abdul Al-Jabir, is fed up with us calling his people Al-Qaeda supporters.
Money went from Princess Haifa to a woman in need. The woman ended up, turned out to be married to somebody who knew someone who interacted with the hijackers. The FBI investigated this a year ago, and the FBI talked to the people, detained the people, and let them go. And now you have a charge that is being leveled against one of the most decent people in the world, one of the most generous people in the world, just because she's Saudi. I doubt that if this involved any other nationality, people would have been as nasty towards Princess Haifa or towards the kingdom.
They would have been ass nasty.
I've come to the conclusion that this is now
becoming
as
nasty.
He doubts they would have been as nasty.
I thought ass nasty was like a particularly virulent form of nasty.
It did sound like
ass being
nasty.
Hella ugly or something.
Yeah.
Or being butt ugly. Be a butt ugly, ass nasty. Ass nasty. I claim that term for the king of Spain right now. Ass nasty. It's mine. I coined it. Can't have it. All right.
Michael Jackson emerged from the van at the Santa Maria courthouse today wearing only one shoe.
Let me ask you something. Is that the end of the battle watch?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, it is.
Yeah, let's end that battle watch then.
I was thinking Michael Jackson, part of the battle watch.
We're just going to drop Michael Jackson
into
Saudi Arabia.
That's what happens when you don't have
You'll
a car.
Come and dangle your children. Give up now.
Play to win all the time.
They won't even notice him. He'll wear a veil like the women.
We have the best spirit and the best men in the world. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war.
All right, it's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Subject line, Christina. And then Greg says, Rick, enough of the melodrama. Is she or isn't she? Inquiring minds want to know, will Christina be staying to the 6th or will she be staying till next Friday?
Yes, Christina, yes. I will be staying.
Now, is that just like in Christina Land or has Herr John said that you can stay?
No, I talk to him and I will stay.
So you will be staying on the show, not just in town.
I will be staying on the show until the end of the toy drive.
So you will be here doing your job through next Friday.
I really will.
Through the toy drive.
I really will because I love you, Rick Emerson.
Ah, see? I knew it'd take you a while to get there. That's what we call...
I've got that on tape. I'll sample that for you later.
In therapy, that's what we call a breakthrough. We'll be back with Gary Baumgarten from CNN Radio. Don't go anywhere.
Live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Do I actually detect a little smile on your face over there?
Well, I was without a big secret that I wanted you to stay to the 13th.
Well, I know, but you got your way, so.
Well, I always get my way. I told you to grow your hair longer. Hair is longer.
But it's up.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's just because I'm not within arm's reach. So you're staying through the 13th, so you've got what? So today, tomorrow, so the rest of this week, so a week from this Friday now is your last day.
Yes.
All right. So about next Tuesday, I'll start badgering you to stay through the 20th.
No.
Here's Christina with the traffic.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. The lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I love you, Rick Emerson.
All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up later on, we got a Britney watch, also Britney-oriented top five. Clyde Lewis with news at Ground Zero. Like us later on this afternoon, followed by the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And so welcome to the show, the world-famous CNN radio correspondent, Gary Baumgarten. Gary, how are you, man?
I'm terrific. How are you?
Are you calling in a bad... Are you using like a Radio Shack cell phone or something?
Yeah, does this sound horrible?
It really does.
The law here is, and you know, I would never break the law. I've got to use a headset. Wait a minute. Let me break the law and see if it's any better for you. Here we go.
All right.
Is this better?
Yeah, you didn't use what... This is one of those cell phones that you buy from the guy with the briefcase on the street corner, is it?
Oh, I buy all my stuff off the street. Anybody you want to watch,
Me too, especially during finals week. All right, hey, let me ask you a couple of things that don't make any sense to me off the top of my head here. First of all, how is it
that on the same day about the same issue, Bush can say that he sees serious problems with the way the inspection is going, yet at the same moment, Kofi Annan says the inspection is going great.
Well, I think Mr. Bush, it's in his long-term interest to indicate that there are problems because he's gearing up for an attack, which I think everybody feels is inevitable. Kofi Annan has to play the statesman, and he wants to support his people. And I indicate that his people showed that they can go anywhere they darn well please, or at least they're going to try to do it, that they have the cojones to go into those presidential palaces that were labeled off-limits last time they were in-country. And so their points of view are just a little bit different, and that's all that really means. And again, as we've discussed before, it's rhetoric, and rhetoric means very little in this case.
So then the question is, what happens if when all of this is done, because Iraq now says that they're going to be able to meet the December 8th deadline, what happens if the inspectors come back to the U.S. government or the United Nations and they say, well, there's nothing, he's clean, no weapons of mass destruction. What does the Bush administration do then?
I don't know. I think it'll be the biggest surprise in the world, because if they are not being disingenuous, they're going to probably come back and say that there are problems. If they really truly give a clean slate, a clean bill of health to Saddam Hussein, well, then in that case, they can, I guess everybody can stand down, but nobody believes that to be the case. I mean, the intelligence would indicate otherwise. The surveillance from the satellite imagery would indicate otherwise. And one would be very hard-pressed to think that that would be the case, that the inspectors would come back and say, no, there are no weapons of mass destruction. We can all go home and the world is safe again.
Do you suppose that there's much... How do I put this? What do you think there's any likelihood of the inspectors not finding hard evidence as such, but sort of leaving leeway that they look, we don't see anything, but we have the gut feeling that there's probably something there. Do you feel like they need to bring back something to the United States to placate us, even if it's just sort of a hunch?
I don't think it's a case of placating. I think it's a case of verifying 100% that the weapons of mass destruction capabilities have been dismantled. We have already seen that some of the monitoring equipment that the previous inspectors left in place have disappeared. And so that would be an indication that a shell game is going on, and I think that's the concern that Washington has.
All right, CNN radio correspondent and user of bad cell phones, Gary Baumgart. Thank you, man. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland and 1-800-727-5955. It's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
I'm going to start this Michael Jackson story again. He emerged from a van at the Santa Maria airport today wearing only one shoe because of a spider bite. The entertainer immediately protested. A television cameraman shot at him. He wanted assurances that his feet, one of them clad in a sock with no shoe, wasn't showing. And sure enough, he won. Nobody is showing his feet on TV today. He said he had a spider bite on his foot and it was swollen. So that was that. Time for the Britney Watch.
Here's your Britney Watch for Tuesday. I knew he must have been about 17. The beat was going strong. Playing my favorite song. Well, it's Britney's big day. Now she can buy a drink. She can also stockpile ammo. She can even run for office in New Jersey, yes.
And also be a big hoe.
Come to this, the pop princess, like the Bush twins a couple of weeks ago, is 21.
Man, wouldn't you like to be at that party where Jenna and Barbara Bush are partying with Britney? That's the best party you're never going to be invited to in your life. That would be the best party in the history of parties.
Well, it even gets better, too, because if it's Jenna and Barbara Bush and Britney Spears and Jenna Jameson.
Well, especially because we read that story that Britney and Jenna are hanging out.
Yeah,
that's
they're,
right.
They're like pals.
That's right. That Britney's taken. It is, we didn't make this up. It's from some story like on the internet. But it was some story from like, it was from like People magazine or something, though, that Britney's taken this big interest in lesbian porn. I swear to God, as much as I would like to take credit for just making that up, we read it. It was in like the New York Post or something, which is not like a... which was founded by Alexander Hamilton. Don't forget that. All right.
Well, she was born in Kentwood, Louisiana. The I'm Not a Girl, Not Yet a Woman singer now lays claim to full womanhood status with the landmark birthday, but
Her publicist's office says Spears was spending the day with her family. No details on what kind of bash, if any, were planned. In Spears, native Kentwood, an official said no activities were scheduled to commemorate the native girl's birthday. Page 2. Other benefits of turning 21 in Arkansas. She can treat an 11-year-old to a jet ski outing on the high seas, providing she, as a responsible adult, can grab the controls at any time. In New Jersey, she can serve in the state's General Assembly, although she'll have to wait till she's 30 to run for the state Senate. In Maryland, she can apply to serve on Prince George County Police Department. On GunBroker.com, the web's largest hunting and sport hunting auction, Spears can purchase pistol ammunition. On Switchblade.com, she can spring for a Switchblade. And for federal law, she can legally buy handguns.
Excellent. You can't buy Switchblades, though. I thought Switchblades were illegal everywhere.
Not on the internet.
Matt, are Switchblades legal in Portland? Where I came from, you couldn't have, like, an actual real Switchblade. The kind where, you know, you press the button and it, you know, just comes out the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Or is that a stiletto? Am I thinking of the same thing?
I think that we always called those stilettos where they came straight out.
Out of the end.
Yeah, as opposed to the Switchblade where that flips up out of the
side. So you can have a Switchblade, not a stiletto.
I think that's correct. I don't know that for sure, though.
When you're a kid, you're obsessed with those. Here's another. Speaking of things, by the way, we were talking about petrified wooden piranha. Speaking about things that 12-year-old boys love and that they're never interested in again, butterfly knives. When you are a 12, 13-year-old boy, you know, or at least, you know, most of us outgrew it. But that's when you become obsessed with butterfly knives and the one-handed open. To this day, I can open and close the butterfly knife with one hand because I spent hours alone in front of my mirror practicing it. Let's talk to Steve. You're on Hot Talk Tonight, KFTK.
Hello.
What's up, man?
The whole Switchblade thing. I did the federal firearm licensing for a while, and the information we got about the automatic knives, as they now like to be called, is that at Oregon, I believe Oregon is the only place that they can be manufactured, that you cannot bring them over state lines. I think law enforcement can get them and do that.
Nice.
But even within Oregon, you go into a different city or a different county, you may have just violated.
So you have to leave it at home.
Yeah, pretty much. You can buy one, you can have one, but if you live in Portland, don't go outside of Portland.
Excellent. All right, there you go. That's Steve. Is this Mike? Yeah, Mike, you're on Hot Talk Tonight, KFTK.
Hey, how's it going, Rick?
What do you got?
I picked up a really nice Switchblade from a place here in town. They're made here out in Oregon City.
Okay, yeah, and so is it
pretty much... They actually carded me to see if I was a resident of this state before they let me have it.
So it's pretty much the same thing as that you can have it, but you can't go, like, packing it around everywhere.
I pack mine around. It just can't be in the pocket.
No. Oh, okay, you have to be visible. Okay.
It has a clip on the outside and a clip on the inside.
All right. What a great gift idea. in case the children in your family are looking for something fun. All right, it's 1-800-727-5955.
That's the end of the Britney line.
Yeah,
Britney
line. Oh, by the way, speaking of chicks and chicks who are hot, so in continuing our quest to audition people for the departing, see, it is now the 13th, officially.
Yes, it's
the 13th.
He's
not going to backtrack on this. This is like where John's going to call up and...
I never said you could be the 13th.
You have me on audio. I will say until the 13th.
Okay, so that gives us about 10 days to find a replacement for you. So we talked about this yesterday. I floated this idea. And coming up later on, I don't know, probably... half an hour from now or so, our good friend Alicia, who is from Barbarella, one of our favorite bands here in the Rick Emerson Show. They played at the Rick Emerson Listener Party, the one we had on October 30th. So Alicia, who is the bass player for Barbarella, is going to be here, I don't know, 25 minutes, half an hour. She'll be auditioning.
She's not even a radio person, and she's going to...
Neither are you. Neither is Matt. Matt's not a real radio person.
I was a radio person. I had a radio job
before
this.
Oh, please. You had a Disney radio job.
I still object to this. I did work for a national network before I came to TK.
Have you ever totaled your car?
No, I really never have.
You're not a real radio
person. I'm not a real radio guy.
You're not a real radio person. I had to fire your asses today and then hire you back tomorrow just so you can say you're real radio people. You've been fired.
Put him on the overnight shift. That'll make a man out of him completely.
So Alicia needs to crash her car and she needs to get hired and then you'll fire her and then you'll take her back and then she'll be a real radio person.
Somewhere working tight shirt. But yeah, but you've pretty much got it. So that'll be, I don't know, 25 minutes, half an hour.
25 minutes from now she'll be here.
So is this week going to be like a week of interviews or a week of ogling?
Well, I suppose that all depends on your point
generally
of view.
Generally,
I say tomato. I say Lear. I mean,
generally, I schedule all of our guests, but I've had nothing to do with any of these. This
well,
is all
because you're just
going to
get in the way. You're just going to insist on going to the Ron Owen School of Broadcast or something, and you're going to bring
I'm
back some.
I'm just going to insist that they have credentials.
If someone's qualified with a degree and
if
such.
If I have you set up people to audition, it's going to be a bunch of guys going, "Hi there, I've come to apply for the job of traffic reader," and that's not going to be any good. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Well, I have a question for you.
Yes.
When I had my first day here, I wasn't, quote, a real radio person,
yes,
and hadn't had a car crash or been fired from a job,
yeah,
did I fit the bill as far as, like, the girls that you're interviewing now?
Well, you were wearing that black skirt with the green design on it. Wasn't that what she was wearing the first day she was here? Not that I'm...
I remember what I wore my first day here, but yet you remember what I wore my first day.
Well, I'm just saying first impressions are what counts.
I love you, Rick Emerson.
That's the answer I'm talking about.
Well, good. You'll have that for the rest of your life, so. Things actually look pretty...
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. More coming up later on, including Alicia from Barbarella. We'll be auditioning for us here. Let's see, this is Dale in the Coop. What's up with you?
Hey, Dale. First, this is the blooded ex-combat Marine Colin,
yes,
from the Coop here. Hey, I have two issues. Yeah. First issue with this Saddam Hussein.
Yes.
This guy isn't an idiot. He's not going to put this stuff back in his own country. He's got it over in his buddy's country. He knows they're going to come back.
Could you put this in your Foot Locker? Yeah. All right.
look over his country. So he's got it over in his buddy's country,
which
gives King George the right to go over there and bomb whoever the hell he pleases. My next issue, I've just come back from Canada, and I brought back a spring-loaded knife with me. It's not a switchblade. It's spring-aided. I showed it to the customs guy. He had no problem with it.
Excellent. That's what I like to hear.
Canadian workmanship.
There you go. That's because life is cheap in Canada. All right, that's Dale. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
You know, it looks like it's Mariah Carey night on TV tonight. First of all, on MTV, it's Mariah Carey shining through the rain. That's to get you ready for Dateline NBC, where she denies trying to kill herself when her movie Glitter and the soundtrack both bombed last summer. That's what she tells Matt Lauer. She says, she's far too much of a spiritual person to kill herself.
Yeah, all right, whatever. Also, too much of a... never mind, I'm not even going to say
She it. Said it was a nervous breakdown. All she needed was 5 hours sleep.
Yeah, whatever you say. Isn't Whitney's going to be doing some big thing, too?
Yes, she is. She's going to sing 3 songs on the plaza of Lincoln Center in New York this Sunday.
No, but then she's got a thing with Barbara Walters, I think. Barbara Walters, Diane Sawyer, Whitney Houston.
Prime time.
Yeah, Diane Sawyer, Whitney Houston. Is that Diane Sawyer?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, Whitney Houston's got some tell-all interview where she's supposedly she's a big junkie.
She's done pot, coke, pills, and booze at one time or another.
But she completely denies... She denies being on crack, which, of course, is what everybody says, which would explain her incredibly emaciated and skeletal appearance.
She just says she's a thin girl.
Yeah, whatever you say.
That's that. Now, what else is on tonight? Biography, Sam Walton, Bargain Billionaires. That's on A&E. Also, Sudden Impact with Clint Eastwood.
Sudden Impact is one of the Dirty Harry movies. It also has Sandra Locke in it, who was also in The Gauntlet, which is one of the fine non-Dirty Harry Clint Eastwood cop films.
On Sci-Fi Channel tonight, Taken. This is a 10-part series of people being abducted by aliens.
It's Spielberg.
Yep.
It's Steven Spielberg, Kate, not Kate Blanchett, Kate...
Yeah, one of the Kates.
somebody. But he has 10 parts. So, and I have to admit that I haven't watched it, but it'll come out on DVD and I'm going to then.
It starts tonight. Also on, greatest motorcycles ever made, followed by motorcycles born to be wild, narrated by Peter Fonda. That's on TLC tonight. Goldfinger's on, as is Hard to Kill. And one of the greatest movies of the 80s, Teen Wolf with Michael J. Fox.
Teen Wolf. Avoid the inferior sequel starring Jason Bateman.
Yeah,
of,
that was a poor man's Teen Wolf.
Of Valerie fame.
Yeah, that was a very bad one. What else do we have here for information? The bright red rose or a cute dolphin tattooed on an adolescent's ankle or arm may hint at his or her penchant for smoking, fighting, and other risky behaviors. These adolescents were four times more likely as their non-tattooed peers to say they have had sexual intercourse and were nearly three times as likely to say they joined a gang.
Why is this even news? Why are we even... Haven't we had this story about 700 times? And they could just save all this money and just call us up and ask us and we would fill them in on this.
And they're twice as likely to have skipped school or have failing grades or to be involved in a fight or violent behavior.
Yeah, all right, whatever.
No tattoos for the kids.
But.
Yes.
Hold on. I got this email. Subject line, demand grows for tattooing. Rick, I swear I heard Christina to commit to getting a tattoo. How does that reconcile with her Christian ethics? I don't know what that means. Go on the air and lie to us. Oh, yeah. Go on the air and lie to us all, then split town. If Christina does not get that tattoo before she leaves, I think that Jesus will be damn disappointed with her. Signed, Evil Dick.
So, Jesus will be disappointed if I don't
get a tattoo?
Because
you bore false witness. Because you committed to getting one, and now you're going to be leaving next Friday without getting one. Thus having betrayed. It's not, well, now you're running away. You will have been making yourself a liar. You will have been giving us a fib. You'll be going back on the word you gave to us that you were going to get yourself a tattoo.
I think it was an unintentional fib.
Not an unintentional fib. I said, you're going to get a tattoo, and you said yes.
Yeah, but it just
what,
didn't happen.
What, I go to that drug you? It's not,
no.
Like I, not like I filled you full of sodium pentothal
or
something.
It's not like I consciously lied and thought, you know, I'm going to tell him I'm going to get a tattoo and then leave.
Yeah, but the Lord doesn't follow people to bend anyway.
God doesn't even know Ben's there. It's like, can't I get it? Jesus doesn't even know that place.
From his name.
They will by the time John gets done.
Yeah, that'll be. Yeah, that's John's duty, though. He'll be bringing him to the glory of our Savior Christ.
Liam Gallagher, who's a wild man. Well, he's a wild guy. He's from the rock band Oasis. He lost several teeth in a punch-out in a Munich hotel over the weekend.
Yeah, baby.
In which he kicked the police officer in the ribs.
Yeah.
The boy didn't look good. Several of his teeth were punched out, said a police spokesman.
The boy didn't look too good.
He said he'll be spending much of his day in a dentist chair. Well, a German promoter said a Hamburg gig planned for Monday night had to be canceled because his injuries were too severe.
Oh, please. He doesn't ever have the gigs anyway, and they continue to play. They were on Conan the other night, and he didn't bother to show up, and they just went on without him. Maybe they can install a thing in his mouth so you can understand what the hell he's saying, too.
Oh, that'd be good.
All right. More on the way, including the audition of Alicia from Barbarella, your phone calls, news at Ground Zero and Top 5. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
The radio just let us know that this is not a test. Everywhere the atom bombs are dropping, it's the end of all humanity. No more time for last minute shots.